Well, I'm glad you're here today. We're just a week away from wrapping up our series, The Good Life. We are going to reach our final destination next week in the book of Ecclesiastes, and then I'll begin a new sermon series the week after that. But there is a word for us today that I want to share with you all, and I told the other services, I'll tell you, this is one of those that I had to think through it a couple of times when I was getting ready to preach it, because this will make more sense in a minute. I almost need to preach this message a little differently to a couple of different groups of people, because today's message is called While You're Young. Now, how do you define young, right? I realize I can get myself into a lot of trouble if I start throwing out numbers. So I'm going to just let you decide if you're young or not. Is that fair? Everybody's like, yeah, I'm young. What are you talking about, right? So I'm going to just leave it at that. We're going to just talk about while we're young, and you say, that's me, right? Or that's maybe I was. I'm just kidding. You know, because I'm at that weird age where it's like I can see about as many years behind me as I see before me. I think they call that middle age, right? Is that what they call that for some reason? So you get to that point where you can kind of see behind and before you. Somebody say, well, I'm more toward the backside of that. And others of you in here say, well, I'm just, you know, kind of beginning. I still consider myself young. So today's message is written to the young, but it's also written to all of us. And so as we hear from God's word today, I pray you, whether you say, well, that applies to me, I would find myself to be one of the young ones, or I find myself as one of those who is maybe not as young as I used to be, right, that you can hear from God's word today. We'll be in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and the beginning of chapter 12 today. If you want to go ahead and start turning that direction, I know that any time that we speak of youth, or we speak of getting older, I always, it's funny, I'll have kind of both sides of the coin. Those who are older than me will say, you don't even know what it means to be older yet, you know. I've had this morning already. Those will come up to me and say, you're just a whippersnapper, you know, or something like that. Is that a word that they use here in Texas? That's a Louisiana word. Anyway, so, you know, you're just young. And then I'll have those that are young and they say, old man, call me an old man, you know, and I'm like, that hurts a little bit, you know. I realize I'm a little older than you, but just keep that to yourself, right? So, but I did, it was funny, I was telling the story, and I think about this the other day. We had this day at our house yesterday, which I think, if you're a parent, it's the day that you don't like. It's the day where you sort through your kids' clothes. Does anybody know that day? You know what I'm talking about? So, we've got two boys, and boys love to try on clothes and to do, right? If you have boys, you're like, no. This is like, I mean, there was gnashing of teeth and much vexation in our home yesterday, because we said to the boys, there are all these clothes and we don't know what fits you anymore. And so we do the whole drill, you know, where you get it all out and you lay it out, and you have to, if you don't have children yet, this is something to look forward to for you, you know. So you lay it out and the boys come in and they're like, I'm gonna try this on. You know, they're so lovely when they do it. It's just great. None of you can relate to this, I'm sure. But anyway, so my job in the clothes sorting operation that was going on at our house yesterday is to go out to the storage and get the bins of clothes. You know, we keep them in Rubbermaid containers and by size and things like that. And so that's my job, to go. And then I'm supposed to look at the clothes on the children and say yay or nay, you know, thumb down. That's my job in the, while watching the Rangers game, you know, I'm doing both kind of. And I was super helpful, I'm sure, Becky would say. Don't ask her, if she, you'll see her later. Anyway, but I went out, you know, and I'm moving. These things are, I think Becky puts bricks in the bottom of the things. And I go out and I get the, and I crushed my finger getting one of them. Just absolutely killed it, putting it in the deal. Now it hurts all day. I'm like, man, it just, this is just part of it, isn't it? You know, you get up in the morning, and I remember when I was 20, I had like three jobs, and I slept 3 or 4 hours a night, and, you know, it was all good, and I never got tired. And now I'm just tired. Just tired. What do you want to do? I'm going to take a nap, you know. I don't know what happened, you know, and I'm not, I realize I'm not that old, but it's funny. It creeps up on us, doesn't it? I mean, I look back and I think back, and I was just 16 years old the other day. I think. In my mind, I was just 16. I remember being 16, and I got my truck, you know, and my youth, man. I could do all kind of stuff. Yeah, you remember all that? I mean, I just so good, so youthful. Yeah, I had hair. Thanks, Armando. Appreciate that. I did. I had good hair, Armando. It's hard to believe. I just got some pictures. I should have brought a picture. Nice head of hair. Man, it was so good to have thick hair. Yeah, anyway, that was another story for another day. But anyway, you know, I had all this stuff, and you remember, you know, you never got tired. You could go and do stuff all day. And now, man, if I sort clothes, I was exhausted last night. Like, what is wrong with me? And you're like, you are an old man. Yeah. It happens to us. It creeps up on us. Well, here's the story, though, isn't it? Every year I have a birthday. Whether I like it or not, I get a year older. Every year, something else hurts. You know? Every year, you're like, boy, young people are like, this is depressing. This is a depressing message. All I'm saying to you is that time passes on. Time passes on, and we look back, and just the other day, we were 16. Just the other day, my first son was born. He'll be 13 this year. It just goes by so quickly, doesn't it? So what do we do in the grand scheme of life with time passing by? And can we capitalize on our youth? God's word says that we can. So let's read it together, and let's see what the preacher has to say to us here in Ecclesiastes. We're going to begin in chapter 11, verse 8, and we'll read through verse 8 of chapter 12. I invite you to open your Bibles with me. If not, it'll be on the screen here behind me. Here's what God's word said. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Chapter 12. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun, the light, and the moon, and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In a day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern and the dust returns to the earth as it was and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. May God bless the reading and the teaching of his word today. The preacher has spent much of the book and very much of our time has been spent, which we won't rehash today, but at advocating for us the embrace of joy. Even though our life is brief, you remember that word vanity? I should define it. It means what? It means breath, right? It means just a moment. Even though our life is just a moment before death comes, and it will come for all of us, won't it? Sooner or later, our life in this world will be over. Our physical life will be over. The preacher speaks of a just a truth, an honest truth, of this is physically what happens to our bodies. And his thoughts turn as, I would imagine the preacher at this time is an older man. And so he's reflecting back on his life. And so his thoughts turn to a young man. This is also certainly written for the young woman. You have to remember the book of Ecclesiastes was written by the narrator, or compiled by the narrator. We'll meet him next week. And he was writing to his son, and that gives it a male focus. But it certainly speaks to all of us, male, female. They're an urging for those who are young to, while they're young, live life to the full. Live life to the full while you are young. Verses 9 and 10 there in chapter 11 tell us to rejoice, young man. Rejoice, young woman, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of youth. Walk in the ways of the heart and of the eyes. In other words, don't neglect the beauty of the creation that God has given us. All of this chapter, all of these words of the preacher, the collector, the explorer, have been for us to rejoice in God and rejoice in His creation. But you can take that certainly way too far to the side of pleasure and turn it into just this hedonism, if you will. It's not at all what he says. And the end of verse 9, you'll notice he says, in all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Now, why would he mention judgment there at the end of chapter 9? God has certainly designed joy and certainly designed pleasure. They are from him, but they are boundaries, aren't they, that we must enjoy those things in. There is a God-ordained boundary to joy and to pleasure. So we must be careful that in our youth, and that's unfortunately what happens many times when we're young, we go and we live it up. We say, live it up with no worries of boundaries or no worries of consequences or no worries of morality. And that's not the picture that the preacher is painting right here. We are to enjoy life, but in the boundaries of the morality that God has created. We have to be careful here that we don't just run with this and turn this into a free-for-all. Hey, while you're young, do anything your heart desires or anything that your eyes desire. That is not what God's Word is saying to us right here, nor anywhere else in Scripture. So if we take joy and if we take pleasure within the boundaries of goodness of God and the morality of God, we find in verse 10, we can then put away vexation or frustration from our heart. We can put away pain from our body because we understand that what is physically here is not getting any younger. As I mentioned to you before, it's not far reach for us to say that it's funny when we get a little older, things don't work quite as well as they used to, right? We're going to Fiesta, Texas this week with the boys. We'll go down to and go to the amusement park and go to SeaWorld. You guys maybe have been there. I can't ride roller coasters like I used to. I don't know what it is. I mean, I ride one and I'm kind of like, I'm going to need to sit down for a minute. You know, I kind of sit down. Let's drink a drink. Let's sit down for a minute. Hey, you know, used to, you know, when you're young, you just go and you ride. Let's ride it three times in a row, you know. Now I'd be sick. I'd have to take some medicine. Or, you know, I mean, it's a deal. This physical body that we have is not the same as it was 20 years ago. It's just not. And so the preacher says, while you're young, you have so much vigor and you have so much energy. Imagine if you channeled all of that energy into living for God. And yet, in our culture, those are the years that in churches and these guys who write these books about statistics will tell you that that's the age where most fall away. It's the age where they fall away from the faith. Instead of running to God with everything that they have, many, and there are, praise God, there's exceptions, many people at that age run away. And the preacher says, don't do that. That's when you have so much potential and you have so much energy that I want you to run. I want you to run toward God. I want you to remember verse 1 of chapter 12, your Creator, in the days of your youth, because he says the evil days are coming. And he's talking about evil days. He's just talking about physically, you're going to reach a point where you're not able to do what you are now. And you think, man, this is a super depressing message. But the truth is, it comes for all of us, doesn't it? I'm not trying to depress anybody. I'm just telling us the truth of life, isn't it? I don't want anybody to get sick. I don't want anybody to have pain. But as we get older, our bodies begin to deteriorate. They return to the dust, the scripture says, from which they came. So while we're young, what do we do? Well, first we reflect on our bodies and we reflect on what's going to happen. The preacher gives this graphic description in verses 2 through 5 of the body. The sun, the light, the moon darkening. And he mentions all these words about the keepers of the house and the grinders. And you can interpret these verses, I should say, in a couple different ways. You can interpret these verses allegorically. In other words, you can make them a picture of parts of the body. The grinders, teeth, you know, the strong, maybe your legs. Talking about just the physical parts of your body begin to deteriorate. Some people have seen in this the imagery of a funeral. I actually like the definition of this where we see this more big picture. The descriptions that we see in verses 2, 3 through 5 of this story are really not just about the ending of a person, although I do believe they describe that in an overarching way. They also speak really specifically to the end of time, the end times, Revelation stuff. And the reason why we see that is because if you look through there, you'll see some examples of the different social statuses of people. There's the word for keepers of the house and strong men. Those are male slaves and the male masters. And then the grinders would be like the female slaves, because what did the grinders do? What did female slaves do? They ground corn and ground wheat. And then the ones who look out the window would refer to the ladies of a higher social status who didn't at that time work, and they would just watch what happens. And so we see this all-encompassing view. The preacher's been talking about this through the entire book. What's going to happen to the rich and the poor and male and female when death comes? It's the same for all, isn't it? What do you take with you? You don't take anything with you. And so he's speaking to all social statuses, all demographics. And then he gives this example, and he gives us a few things. He says the almond tree. He mentions the grasshopper with a full belly, apparently. And then he mentions the end of desire. Go read Revelation and look at the references to the almond tree. You know when the almond tree blooms? In the spring. It's a very early blooming tree. So it refers to youth or youthfulness. Now, what do the grasshoppers and locusts usually represent? They eat stuff, right? Destruction. And what is this grasshopper's problem? He's so full that he literally drags his belly across the ground. He's had his fill, if you will. And the word desire here is actually the word for a caper. I don't eat a lot of capers. Do you guys know what they are? They're really fancy. I probably don't go to enough restaurants. They don't serve them at Arby's. So, you know, I don't eat a lot of capers. But a caper is, you know, it's a delicacy, if you will. They cook them in Italian food and a lot of things like that. But they also refer to desire or pleasure. That's how they were used in ancient times. So all of these things refer to an ecological, if you will, destruction as well, as a destruction of all social statuses. Now, why would the preacher mention all of that? Why would he speak to the end times? Because it sounds like he's confused. He's talking about the end times. He's talking about our body. The truth is, for all of us, for all of you, for me, in one way or another, life will cease to exist. I may live to be 100. Good, that's hard for me to fathom, but maybe I'll live to be 100. Or Jesus may return tomorrow. But the truth is, it will all come to an end, won't it? My life here on earth will one day be over. And what's left at the end of that is what was there at the beginning. Creator God. You understand, the one who created all things is the one who is and was and who will always be. So the preacher talks to us about this idea of the darkness falling across the land. Everyone is going to be affected by this. In verses 6 and 7, he mentions the silver cord, the golden bowl, the pitcher. What is silver and gold? They're precious, aren't they? Precious things. Our life is precious, and it will one day be taken. It will one day be broken. It will one day be snapped. And instead of all these things being a frustration to us or being a something to scare us or worry us, the preacher puts it into the context of what he did back in verse 1. He says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Again, fleeting, a breath. Just a breath is all that it is, right? Our physical life when we're on this earth is just but a breath to God. And so if we consume ourselves with too much with the things of life, the preacher says, well, there's danger in that. But then again, if we don't enjoy life, it's that balance that we talked about last week, that idea of living life to the full, but also living life with the end in mind. It's a delicate act, isn't it, to balance those two things out. And that's where we find the conclusion here. Next week, we'll talk about this. This is where he finally reaches the conclusion. But the advice today is really planted on the fact that a good creator God, a God who created the universe to be good, wants us to do the right things. He wants us to live life. He wants us to enjoy life. But we must understand that for us to live life fully, we must start by revering God, by honoring Him, by understanding who He is and what it is that He expects from His creation. The problem is we've misperceived God, if you will, and who He is. And we fail to appreciate the true freedom that we have in being a part of His creation. So I tell you, I think the word to us today is that joyful living is serious living. Joyful living is a balance of life, whether you're young or you're old. And it brings us to our key point today, which I'll define for you in a little bit. The thing for us to do is to live in remembrance of who God is and who we are. Let's define that. Who is God? Well, God's definitions stretch throughout Scripture, don't they? But in this context, we see God as creator, don't we? We see God as the one who shaped creation, who formed the mountains and who formed you, His creation. See, that leads us to who you are. Who are you? You are created in the image of God. You are precious to Him. You are firstborn of all. You're important to God. You matter to Him. And when you are in a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, you then become a son of God, right? A daughter of the King. And so when you do that, what the preacher says here is the time to live that out most of all is when you're young. Rejoice in that when you are young. So many young people say, I'm going to wait until I get older, and then I'm going to get my life together. No. Rejoice in the fact that God loves you and created you. Rejoice in that when you're young. You say, well, I'm not young. Maybe you're on the side. You say, I define myself as not young. Well, then here's what you do. You teach that truth to those who are younger. You teach them that there is a God who loves them, and there is a God who cares for them. And you teach them that they can be in a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Now, I tell you, this is hard for us because I look around sometimes, and young people are not like young people were in my day. I sound like an old man. You know, I caught myself the other day saying something about a 20-year-old, and I was like, you know, I wanted to say, get off my yard or something like that, you know. I'm not that old, but you find it happens quickly, doesn't it? You don't mean for it to. Like, I don't understand some of the stuff that they put in their ear and stuff. You know, I don't understand all that. That's okay. I'm learning, you know, to understand. I don't understand some of the things that they, you know, we don't. But here's what I do understand. They were created in the image of God. And there's a God who desires to be in relationship with them, just like me. And so my job as someone who is older is to make sure they know the truth of who God is, that God loves them, and He is Creator God. And whether they realize that right now or not, we must proclaim that to the generation, shouldn't we? The problem is we can get so caught up in the fact, and the preacher speaks to this, of we're just worried about our own bodies wasting away. We're just hanging out and saying, man, I'm getting old. Man, my back hurts, you know, or whatever you want to use. The truth of the matter is that's going to happen. The truth of the matter is, there's coming an end for all things. There's coming an end for all time. Jesus spoke in Matthew 24. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, talking about the end times, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You see, there's a reminder to us. That language sounded really familiar, didn't it? Did you hear that? The sun, the moon. That was very familiar to what we just read right here in Ecclesiastes. Jesus was speaking of that end of days that's coming for all of us. Here's the deal. And the preachers struggle with this. Everything in life, everything we do physically here has eternal consequences, doesn't it? The preacher struggled because he said, I don't know what happens to a man after he dies. I know, we know because of the truth of Scripture that when the end comes, for those of us who are in Christ, there awaits for us an eternity with God in heaven. But we also know that for those who die without Christ, Scripture teaches that for them there is an eternal separation from God in a place called hell. And so, what an opportunity that those of us who are older have to teach those who are younger. And those of you who are younger, stop waiting. Stop waiting to live for God. Imagine if the youth, why do we invest in youth and college students and young people at a church? Why do churches invest? Because that group of people, when they catch the passion for who God is and who they are in Christ, they can change the world. That's why we invest in that group. And I know that they may not dress like you, and they may not think like you, but they are loved by God. And they deserve the truth of the gospel. And so we're going to continue to be a church that reaches the... And I don't understand it all. I promise you, I don't understand it all. I don't understand how they think and what they... I don't know what Snapchat is. You know, I'm learning all that stuff. You know, somebody will teach me one day. You know, we're learning those things. But here's the deal. The Bible, God's Word, the narrative of Scripture in all of its entirety, provides us with a map for everything that we need to know for our journey. Everything that we need to know for our journey. But it also provides us with the map of how we can use our own journey and our own faith experience to help those who haven't discovered it yet. We've got to fall in love with God's Word. We've got to fall in love with the truth that's found here in the Bible. Psalm 19 is one of my favorites. It reminds us that the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You see, God's Word gives us our bearings. It gives us an opportunity to fix our eyes on the road that lies ahead of us. And in that, it provides for us rules for the journey. And what I love about God's Word is that it gives us wisdom beyond our own understanding. You ever think about that? How God's Word gives us wisdom beyond our own understanding? Do you realize there are people who have gone before us who have experienced the things that we haven't yet experienced, and many times they're written right here in God's Word. There are people in this church who have gone before me who have experienced raising teenage boys. I need to talk to those guys. I need to learn from them. There are those who have dealt with declining health or the declining health of a loved one and walked through it with grace. I need to speak to those people. I need to learn from them. Do you understand how the whole of Scripture and the whole of God's church makes us stronger? So while we're young, while we're old, while we're somewhere in the middle, we're called to love God's Word. We're called to love His people. And we can do that by by simply remembering that and loving God's word and making it attractive to our children and making it attractive to our grandchildren, to those we come into contact with. I'm asking today to be captivated by it. It is not a shackle that binds us or robs us of our joy. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations that we just have to follow. It's the words of life. I pray that we teach it to our kids and make them love it. But the problem is, and I speak to those of us who are adults and parents here, we've got to be in love with it first. We've got to be in love with it first, and then our kids can fall in love with it. So church, I tell you today, whether you put yourself on the young side or the old side, I don't care. We serve a creator God who loves us. You were created in his image, and he wants a relationship with you. That's a great truth that we can share with people of any age. Let's bow together for just a moment. Today's word is really practical. It's not one of those where it may say something different to everybody, and that's okay. It's the beauty of Scripture. It speaks to all of us differently. So I won't even try to put into words what it is that God may have spoken through his word today. I will just ask that when we stand and sing in a minute, if you need to come and pray, the altar will be open. Our prayer partners will be available. Maybe you need to talk about a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you need to, maybe you realize today, now's the time. I've been putting it off for too long. I need to be in a relationship with you, Lord. Maybe today you need to fall in love with God's word. You need to pass that on to your children. Father, we just ask that in this moment that you, Lord, would have your way in this group. Lord, I struggle sometimes to put into words the best way to apply this, but the truth is when your word goes out, you speak directly to the hearts of people. So I just ask that there be a receptiveness here to what it is that you're saying to each individual heart. And God, if there needs to be response, I just simply pray for obedience. Lord, I praise you that, Lord, your creator, God, you form the things that make up this world, and God, you loved me. Gave me a chance to say yes to Jesus so many years ago. May we simply just be obedient to the call to continue to share that truth. People of all ages. So God, you have your way as we sing. In Jesus' name.